And I think there's something important to realize for the feminine, and that is that we have something else we have to do. Not only do we have to meet ourselves and go into the dark night of the soul, which really is the deconditioning process, but we also have a piece of feminine reclamation inside of it. Because what's happened as we've lived for like thousands and thousands of years in a patriarchal structure, it's that the feminine frequency, and this is why I'm saying this is our divine feminine moment, the feminine frequency has not been included. Like, we don't even really know what that means. We're just starting to scratch the surface because our modern culture has been built on a totally different principle.
Welcome home to the Lindsay Martin Ellis Experience. This is your virtual sanctuary where we keep it light while going deep and ground spirituality into the reality of what it means to be human. We explore consciousness, evolution, alternative health, all things truth, taboo, and beyond. There are no boxes or rules here. Tune in each week where myself and raw and real guests will be sharing our lived experience through a multifaceted lens to support you no matter where you're at on your journey. This is a sacred space where spiritual principles and universal wisdom are accessible, simple, and digestible, because all are welcome here. It is your birthright to remember the magic and miracle that you are. You ready to be inspired? Let's do this, love. Welcome back, beautiful people. I've got a short little intro. I'm very excited to announce that this is my first podcast collaboration after having my baby, the start of season three. So we're three episodes into season three. The first two were solo casts. And I just love how things flow. I just gotta love it. So Kenlyn was the last podcast that I recorded prior to baby coming, and my intention, well, I didn't really know what my intention was. I wasn't sure if I was going to launch it while I was still pregnant or if this episode would be launched after the babe arrived. And sure enough, here we are, like, I don't know, 5 months later. Something like that. My baby's almost 5 months old, which is crazy to think about within itself. Here I am sharing the episode, which is titled, This is Our Divine Feminine Moment. And this came through for Kenlyn, and just, I think, hours before we recorded this together. And the conversation was so timely and so juicy. And I did something a little bit different. I wanted to share something behind the scenes where normally I take all of my podcast guests through a little guided meditation prayer, just a grounding to cohere our fields, just for us to be in a full state of presence and to be in full trust of the transmission of the conversation and how it gets to unfold. And so I included that because, let me be honest, things were a little bit of a shit show with our conversation. Not the conversation itself and not the company. It was fabulous. All right. As I'm recording this in my living room while my husband's sleeping and the babe's sleeping. And in the background, you might have just heard my pup do a little shimmy, shimmy, shake. And I think she was giving me a little message here. So Okay, now I'm feeling like there's all these things that are coming at me at once. So what I was going to say before I will let you know about what Luna just did, my pup, is there were so many tech breakdowns. Like, my computer was dying and I forgot to charge my computer cord. I mean, mind you, I was very, very pregnant, had baby brain, wasn't really working that much. I was just wrapping up most of, like, all of my private client contracts. And then the Wi-Fi connection wasn't working. And then when we came back in, then Kenlyn, my guest, who I haven't even announced yet, I don't think, I can't remember what it was, but her microphone wasn't working and her video wasn't working. So we it was very interesting because we were having like this epic conversation that kept getting shaken up by technology. And what my pup, I think Luna on a soul level was just reminding me of, right, is like, she just shook it off, right, so she could get comfortable and get ready for bed. And so much of this conversation, Kenlyn and I were talking about it on and off the record, was the importance of being in our bodies and not letting those external circumstances take us out. And not, because I feel like if we would have left our bodies, even in the slightest bit, which is totally fine, but I feel like if we did, we wouldn't have had the conversation that we had, because going back and listening to it many, many months later, I was thinking, dang, we've got it. Like, we had this very timely conversation in the middle of, I think we popped in and off Zoom 4 times. There was all of these different Zoom recordings where some of it was paused, some of it wasn't, some of it had to get edited out, some of it had to get clipped all together. And it was kind of crazy. That's never happened before. There were so many little things that just kept adding up, and it was like this domino effect. So I included the grounding meditation at the beginning, which is I normally hit record, do that, and then go right into the conversation. And usually that grounding meditation usually gets cropped out, gets edited out. And I wanted to include it because of what I said in the conversation and the trusting of what emerged forthcoming. And yeah, I think it's important. I wanted to include that meditation, that grounding, because this is a practice that I do before I pop on here and speak with all of you. This is a practice that I do before I get on a phone call, before I really do anything, is I come back to presence, especially if I'm collaborating with somebody else. It's really important that we call in that divine support team to basically say, we trust, we trust, we trust. However this conversation goes, we trust. Even, I mean, let me just shoot you straight. Like, I feel that Kenlyn is a long lost soul sister. We don't even know each other that well, but it's so organic. It's so natural. It feels like we've known each other forever. And I love when you find your soul family again, and it just, you feel that deep, deep, deep resonance. But I'll be honest, there have been people who have asked to be on the show in the past, or, you know, people who have reached out to me, or just other collaborations with people that I haven't known that well, and it hasn't gelled as well, or maybe not everything jives with me in terms of what they're sharing. And that's okay, right? That's the point of this podcast, is it's not meant for me to only have people on the show that think like me and that act like me and that I would be friends with. I want different conversations, different perspectives, different personalities, different walks of life. But with Kenlyn, it was just such a breath of fresh air. She's a wealth of deep, deep, deep wisdom. And I feel safe in her presence. I feel connected and seen, and I learned so much from her in this conversation. And yeah, it was just a very beautiful, organic exchange of our experience, our life experiences, and just giving a little glimmer of what we've kind of gleaned along the way, and in hopes that it could support all of you. So enjoy this conversation, enjoy the little grounding meditation at the beginning, and I pray that this serves as an opportunity for you to keep going if you feel like there's hiccups along the way, or to not scratch something just because it's not perfect. Like, it just feels timely to be like, yep, all right, things were edited out funny. I had a different background. Like, I had to switch locations halfway through. It was just so much disruption. And yet the cohesiveness of the through line of what Kenlyn and I were stringing together is so powerful for this time that we're alive on the planet. And I don't want to introduce her or say anymore because we talk about it more in the episode, but just wanted to give you that quick little snippet of, it was, I think, late January when we recorded this, and now it's, what is it, late June? I did want to point out one last thing. So yeah, it's just interesting. Like, we had the conversation and it's fun to come back and listen to it many months later, especially now that I'm on the other side of this motherhood portal. But one of the things I almost forgot to share that is in the show notes. So in the show notes, of course, there's all the way to get in touch, all the ways to get in touch with her and her bio and her website and her social media handles. But she's got this epic event called the Goddess Convergence right now. The link is in the bio or the show notes below. And it's literally happening the week that this episode launches. So that also feels very timely. I'm excited to support her in this way. And it's a free live day, juicy feminine festival with 13 plus activations. Again, it's called the Goddess Conversion. It's free. It's virtual. It's evolvingsistersnetwork.com/goddess-convergence. Again, this is in the show notes below. And I highly encourage you to check it out, right? Like, activations mean getting in your body. As I was talking about Luna in the background, my puppy, shaking it out, right? Animals do this so beautifully, getting in their bodies, just shaking all that stuck, stagnant energy out. And again, I feel like Kenlyn and I, because we have these deep-rooted embodiment practices over the years, it almost provide this unshakable like opportunity for us to just roll with it so effortlessly. It was pretty, pretty magical to behold. So I won't take up any more of your time with this little intro. Enjoy this. Gosh, I just keep wanting to say epic. Like, it feels like an epic conversation. It's an epic time to be alive, to be having the conversation of, this is our divine feminine moment. And if you are in a male body, I promise you, there is so much wisdom in this conversation. We all carry the divine feminine within us. And I promise you, you're going to love Kenlyn and you're going to love everything that we have to share. All right, beautiful blessings. And as always, reach out, let us know what landed. Much love.
All right, so let's just close our eyes for a moment. Just coming back into the breath. Coming back into our bodies. Just feeling our connectedness. This beautiful planet, this divine mother essence. You can bring my beautiful little baby into this space. Just really feeling connected to the miracle of life. Feeling ourselves as this pillar of light, as this bridge between the heavenly bodies, the above and the below. Just trusting in whatever transmissions come through, however the conversation unfurls, just really trusting in whomever gets to receive it, knowing this is evergreen and knowing that humanity will get to continue to tune into this and receive the wisdom for many, many years to come. And just thanking ourselves for saying yes to our sacred missions. Thanking all of the listeners for saying yes to tuning in. Just taking one deep breath in together. Cohering our fields and just letting go of anything that does not serve us in this moment. Just asking that we continue to be of greatest service to the whole throughout this conversation and beyond. And so it is.
So it is.
Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome back to the show. I have Kenlyn Colleen here with us today, and I am very excited for this conversation to talk about This is Our Divine Feminine Moment. Do you want to say hello to our beloved listeners?
Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. This is such an important conversation. Thank you, Lindsay, for inviting me.
Absolutely. So you consider yourself to be a women's empowerment leader, and you are the founder of the Evolving Sisters Network, which is a global community of awakened women leading with their sacred power, freeing their voices, and restoring wholeness to themselves, their communities, and the planet. So profound. It's just such a sigh of relief. It's like, we need more of this. We get to have more of this. And, you know, you and I have kind of met in other circles, and we've been a part of varying events and have an overlapping of sisters and friends and colleagues. And so we were long overdue for this conversation. But yeah, I'd love to hear just a little bit more about what brought you to this work and what brought you to the Evolving Sisters Network and really being a stand for divine feminine leadership at this time on the planet.
Yeah, let's dive in. And I hope that those of you listening can listen for yourself in your own divine feminine moment, even if you're in a male body, because this is the moment that we either, you know, we recreate the past, or we step into an entirely new future. And that's what I'm a stand for. So yeah, I've always been kind of an intense kid. And I went to law school in my 30s and just knew that I was sort of built for the fight, as it were. And that's really shortly thereafter, I had a spiritual awakening. And that came after a divorce that just leveled me and put me on the path of curiosity, of exploration. And that took so many years and decades, but as our life is just like a tapestry that's being woven. And so after my 50s, and we're going to get into maybe some human design and gene keys, and I'm a sixth line. So really for me, it's all experimentation and living on the mat and figuring it out until I turned 50. And that's when I wrote a book called The Art of Turning 50, which really initiates women into their queen. I had never heard that. And that was so exciting. And then that initiation just really supported me to create the Divine Feminine Summit that was launched right before lockdown around the world. So it was divine, completely divine timing. And we activated archetypes in women. And it felt like everyone was just so hungry for a new context, a new way of being. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Mexico in, I think it was 2022, maybe that was it. Yeah, 2022. And I got so sick that I was taken down and hallucinating in my fevers. And in that place, I was spoken to about the Evolving Sisters Network. It had been on my heart, like, how do I really serve? What's the highest expression of my Dharma? And that's a good question for all of us to be asking, because that kind of question gets the unseen world really excited to support you in the answer. And what came through was creating a collaborative platform, like a spiritual marketplace, but also a collaborative platform that is grassroots. So instead of looking at these luminaries that we've looked to, we're looking to ourselves to give our own medicine and then also receive the medicine of others. So that's in a nutshell what the Evolving Sisters Network is about.
Beautiful, bringing it back to the self, right? Not looking outside of self for validation or empowerment or the answers. Oh my gosh, so much resonance with what you shared. Well, before we dive into all the synchronicities of the journey of our journeys, and of course, there's many differences, but many golden threads. What is your definition of Dharma?
You know, it's so funny you asked me that, because I had this, I was actually thinking of this morning. You know, maybe your divine team was prepping me for this conversation. Yeah, you know, it's known as this right action, this kind of natural law. And I love that. It's like the way that it should be, if we're going to use the should thing. Like, it's just so native to you and to me. And there's rightness in the world when I step into that.
So I think of it like that, and it, that it's also natural. It's also how my blueprint is calibrated. It's my energy signature, and it takes what it takes, like lots of layers of deconditioning to get to that place where we start to notice in our bodies, like, that felt good. And I'm also causing an effect out there. Not only did it feel good, but I'm noticing out there that there's a resonance too. So it's like bi-directional.
I love that.
What's your definition of dharma?
Really, what you were mentioning, just like living that highest expression and not actually judging and or shaming or questioning the tumultuous rides, right? The places where we get sick, the places where we get go through a divorce, the places where our career is no longer serving us, and really trusting in that greater service. And really, it's almost like, I haven't really thought about it up until this moment, but it's like the more we come back to the self, the more we are of greatest service to the whole. And it's like that effortless, just deep gnosis of that individuated one true source is almost 8 billion people on the planet, yet knowing that it is also intricately connected, and that just brings tears to my eyes. And then it keeps me going, regardless of what's happening in my external environment, regardless of how troubling the deconditioning is, regardless of, it's excruciating at times to be a human. And I think really presencing that and owning that and not making it out to be rainbows and butterflies, as there's so much dogma in the spiritual world now, can sometimes lead us to believe.
Yeah, I think we're reclaiming the dark side. Honestly, yeah. We're reclaiming that really to be human is both and to really love that we get to love it. We get to even love, Richard Rudd, if we're going to bring in the gene keys.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there's a gene key that I listened to. I believe it was somewhere in the emotional solar plexus. It could be 55. But I remember many years ago listening to one of his videos, and he was saying that Frida Kahlo had this particular gate. And he was like, if she would have romanced her pain, it would have been a lot different for her. So imagine now we have a powerful context around pain and suffering that perhaps wasn't available at that time. Like something was wrong, but maybe, the gene keys really normalized the creative process as a descent. Like you got to go down, and you don't think there's anything that's fertile in that down, in that void. But that's why I even love like following, we're recording this right before a new moon. The new moon is this fertile void. So we're really embracing more of the darkness so that we can actually germinate what's real and true.
Yeah. And all of those experiences in your life, right? Like former engineer, I remember when we were on a Gene Keys and Human Design Summit with Miranda. If you're listening to this, hello, beloved soul sister. And just our paths, right? Very similar. Like I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to do it better than a man, and I'm going to do what everybody says I can't do, and I'm going to be in this role and just be in my masculine and just prove to everybody that I can do it and I can do it better and I can, all of these things. And then for me, it was an ailment, right? It was a deep hormone imbalance and had excruciating, debilitating symptoms. And that's what ultimately led me to my spiritual awakening, which led me to leaving corporate, which led me to, doing very similar work, right? Because of the healing journey. And so I think it is really powerful to really ground in that we these moments happen for our evolution as you're the name of your brand in this movement and this collective is the Evolving Sisters Network, right? We have sometimes these catastrophic or like events. Sometimes it's smaller, sometimes it's, you know, a little gentler, and other times it's these really evolutionary epochs that catapult us into this next phase of our journeys. So is there anything you want to speak to that?
Oh my goddess, there's so much. Yeah, I think the thing to presence around our journeys is the archetypal journey, the Shiro's journey. And I think there's something important to realize for the feminine, and that is that we have something else we have to do. Not only do we have to meet ourselves and go into the dark night of the soul, which really is the deconditioning process, but we also have a piece of feminine reclamation inside of it. Because what's happened as we've lived for like thousands and thousands of years in a patriarchal structure, it's that the feminine frequency, and this is why I'm saying this is our divine feminine moment, the feminine frequency has not been included. Like, we don't even really know what that means. We're just starting to scratch the surface because our modern culture has been built on a totally different principle. So if you follow the Shiro's journey, one of the things that a lot of women report, and you and I have the same story of, like, we figured out early on, oh yeah, to be successful, I'm going to go into the corporate world, or I'm like, I became a lawyer. I'm going to kick ass. I'm going to be the best at it. I was like in law review, top 10% of my class. You know, that's that old paradigm. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I had a blast, but it's what we did because the feminine, in our way to deny the feminine inside of us. And a lot of us are coming back home. So part of this Shiro's journey, this deconstruction, this breaking down, is to bring you back to who you really are. And who you really are is this, the frequency of the feminine and the masculine. And we could go into that polarity training here, but really there's so much to that. And reclaiming our feminine is a part of what we're doing. And so what does that mean for you? For me. And one of the things, you know, you being pregnant, you get to really, you know what that means in your body right now. Like it doesn't want to drive forward. It wants to turn inward and nurture. And that principle, you know, is reserved for mothers for a very short time, right? You get your 12 weeks of family leave instead of just really a culture that has this woven into it. So I'll stop there, but that's really what comes to mind when we talk about those dark nights of the soul and our deconditioning process.
All right. So I think it's fun to presence. I was just going to dive into responding to Kenlyn's response. And we have had some technical difficulties here. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll notice a change of location on my end. And I think as we're talking about the ebbs and flows of life and just being with what is and trusting and being resilient, and also noticing like how we get knocked out of presence on a daily basis and moment to moment and responding. So do you want to presence anything with that, Kenlyn, before I respond to what you shared so beautifully about just even this motherhood journey and just divine feminine leadership this time?
Well, you know, divine feminine leadership does require that we really are in our bodies so that whatever happens, we're just able to be present for it. I mean, I was just telling Lindsay that I had a call on, like, we were doing a trauma course launch, and we had 66 women on this call about healing the witch wound, and my computer froze, and then I dropped out, and then I came back and it was still frozen. And it was so cool because my co-host just didn't miss a beat, because we're not really here presenting. We're here having a conversation with you. And that means the world to me. And it makes all this craziness that we have to, we get to like work through with technology, worth it, because really we're here to connect. So just saying that, and then take it away. What's it been like for you in this crucible of letting go?
Yeah. And just like how we co-created this, like my computer, like it was not just the internet. It was like my computer cord. And then once I got back online, then you were having trouble with your mic and your camera. Like it was this dance of like, and I don't know if you could hear me, but I kept like sighing, and I just kept being like, but like really just breathing into it and being in my body and the non-attachment. And, you know, there was this part of me that, you know, just the part of my psyche that was like, I want to be respectful of your time. And like, is she going to think I don't have my shit together? And, you know, just like all of the things that go through the mental constructs of like, this isn't perfect. This isn't how this was supposed to go. And of course, it's all beautiful. So I think just presencing behind the scenes that we had to navigate, you know, on both of our ends, like having this conversation happen. And this feels like such a beautiful opening for just how the pregnancy journey has been. And just when I think something's going one way, something in my body changes, or another fear comes up, or there's something that comes to the surface. And being in my body has been the absolute, like, it's been what has been required for me to continue to be open to the mystery, to not know what's to come, to move through any of the, you know, unexpected. And what you were saying earlier, I really believe that I was meant to leave corporate so that I could actually show women, for those who choose to become mothers, you know, in this lifetime, to really do it a different way. And even though the corporate journey and leaving the corporate journey and the entrepreneurial journey wasn't easy for me, really, I'm in this place that I get to create what I truly desire for myself, for my baby, for my beautiful partnership with my beloved husband, and how we get to create a family unit. And I'm noticing, like, because I feel so nourished and I feel so supported, and so my husband does, and my baby will, and just seeing how the ripple of that is going to impact humanity, because I feel that one of the reasons why I'm here is to really show women and show families and show humanity a new way of supporting all of us and regenerating the family unit in a way that everybody feels held and feels supported and feels nourished. So thank you for asking. And that does feel, it feels like part of my soul journey. And so I don't regret what all of the trials and tribulations of the excruciating 10-year, it was like a decade long journey of like getting, you know, being in corporate, getting sick, leaving corporate, starting a business, and really like feeling stable. Like it took a long time to really feel stable again in my body. So is there anything that you want to add to that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been thinking when you were sharing about the icons and the statues that were unearthed during more of the matriarchal period, pre-patriarchy, and they were all of mothers, like the cosmic mother, the world in the womb. And so the feminine carries life. It is the portal for which spirit incarnates in a body. And I love that you have the vision of representing in our modern world this journey differently. Because, you know, really, we get to all just like worship at the feet of mothers, because mothers are the reason why we're here. And mother energy is what sustains and nourishes the planet. And as we pulled ourselves away to build monuments and to be in commerce and to have agriculture and all the things that are part of our modern life, we really stripped away the importance, the pure sacredness of the mother. And I say that I don't have children. I have dog children, and I'm an auntie, but I feel the mother energy because I carry the cosmos in my womb. And that's part of the reclamation. And just hearing you speak, and I have a feeling that many mothers who are hearing you speak are resonating with the same thing. Like, how can we do this differently? You know, we don't want to just raise another generation of kids completely checked out to, I'm going to say the feminine, but really it's life. Life. Like how we got here, why we're here, and how we can embrace and love our journey as sacred. And that means then embracing and loving others in their journey as sacred. So yeah, this is our moment. I'm going to keep coming back to that because it's really our divine feminine moment. You know, what are we going to choose? And it's going to be like on the mat every day, like making those choices because the autopilot is already set. We already know what the matrix looks like, you know? And if we just numb out and go in that direction, we already know what we're going to get. So yeah. we get to constantly just wake up. Like, what am I choosing? Where am I putting my energy? What do I value? What am I here to do? And that's really what I wanted to leave listeners with in this podcast, because this is the time that we're actually considering these questions. Like your life really matters. And so what are you going to do with it? Yeah, I think we're on the threshold of some super huge change, and we have a say.
So delicious. What was really coming through when you were speaking is, you know, that coming back to self, that coming back into sovereignty, into our bodies, and how it looks different for all of us, right? Like you and I can connect to the divine mother energy, right? With two totally different life paths and life experiences where, you know, it's the same with what's happening in the collective, what's happening in the world, right? There's a lot of people, like once we start to be in the spotlight, especially more and more people have expectations of how you serve, of how you lead, of what to say, of what's important. And I think what really came through is just trusting in some of us are on the front line. Some of us are, you know, having children. Some of us are creating badass communities called the Evolving Sisters Network, right? Where we can connect with the portals of the womb and connect with the cosmic mother and so on and so forth. And that feels, and that's why I really loved your energy. And that's why I wanted to bring you on the show, because I can really feel a very similar resonance of that autonomy over self. And I just want to thank you for that and how you and I have, right? It's like what our souls choose, we don't know until we go inside. And it's going to look different for all of us.
Yeah, that we really have this blueprint, and that we're on a journey to discover a treasure hunt, to discover the jewels inside of us. And I think that's where, you know, the standing in the sovereignty and having a business and being visible, there's always these moments of choosing what is right for you. And I think this is coming through the collective very, very strongly, that we can admire people out there and we can learn and receive teachings and integrate them. And there's no one who's going to do it like you. And that's just a razor's edge to walk. Because there are some tried and true principles. There are some really smart structures, but there's life force that's super unique to you that's animating it. And that's probably why, you know, like if we look at the cosmos right now, we have, I like to track astrology, and the North Node is in the sign of Aries. And that's not a very relational North Node, right? That's the South Node in Libra. So really humanity is on the axes right now of prioritizing
our sovereignty, our leadership, our self-expression, our I am-ness over like the ways that we were getting along in the past. And so it's interesting because if we kind of overlay the Aquarian model on that, I always say we're here to be fully self-expressed and get along with other people.
Yeah. Well, it's that individuated, like I feel that too. It's like, can I, and I'm equating everything to like, you know, my pregnancy experience in labor right now, because there's so many opinions, but it's like where I feel safest is giving birth at home. And I trust that that is not everybody's journey. And I accept, and I, right. It's like, can you accept me? Can someone else accept me for what I choose for my path if they don't feel a resonance with it or they have any fear around it? And can I give people that same level of compassion and allowance and acceptance? And I feel like it's like the individuated we is how I feel the energy is. Like, can I just be myself and can everyone else just be themselves? And I actually have my south node in Libra and my north node in Aries. So I'm very much feeling this energy right now.
Wow. Okay. So you're like in a nodal return.
A nodal return. And my baby is an Aquarian baby. So I am curious because I know you did want to talk about Pluto moving into Aquarius during this time. How did you get into astrology and the gene keys? I know as part of your Dharma talks or your soul talks, your live your Dharma transmissions in the Evolving Sisters Network, you talk about life wisdom, astrology, gene keys. And I'm curious to know how they entered your world and how you, you know, started to speak the language of the soul and share it with others.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a projector in human design. So welcome fellow projectors, and projectors. My mom didn't know that I was a projector. She doesn't say anything about that in human design. My mom is not into it, but she says, like, you're like a Swiss Army knife. So I'm like, yeah, mom, that's called being a projector. So I love systems. I love to study systems. And here's the thing about systems, like, they're not true or false, they're contexts, they're ways to see the world, like just to shift our prism so that we can see something. And so I love always having new contexts to see life and try to figure it out. And I had an astrologer way back in the day. She was kind of a second mother to me, a mentor. She really introduced me to the work of Byron Katie and non-duality when I was like in my late 30s, which totally freaked me out. It was like so new. I was like, what? I don't exist? Wait, what? So it was great. And she talked to me a lot about astrology, helped me understand myself. And I think that's the beauty of understanding astrology. And really, if it doesn't resonate, you can throw it out. I always say when I teach inside my container in the Evolving Sisters Network that you don't have to come with knowing the gene keys or knowing human design or knowing astrology or the Enneagram, any of the systems. You get to just tune in because chances are when I create a picture, you're going to feel something because the planets are like archetypes. And that means that they're structures. Archetypes are structures. It's not who and what we are, like, period. No. Who we are is ineffable. We are God, spirit, but we are contained in a structure. And that structure is not just our mind, but our personality, our conditioning has a structure to it. Our body has a structure to it. I used to teach Kundalini yoga. So the spine is like this, the governing principle of the structure, the bones. So structure is here to support this animated life force flowing through it. And so I like to use it just to show people something. It's like holding a mirror up and seeing, do you see a new part of yourself right now?
Yeah, it's really supported me. So I'm a 1-3 generator in human design. And so I'm curious if you feel a resonance with like the investigator, like the one profile, Like I love to experiment as the three and I love to have a solid foundation. And so I'm kind of like to geek out on all of these structures as well, because it really supports, it just supports, right? And the way that I look at it is it's like the solid foundation that's activating the wisdom that already resides within me. So it's not like I'm learning something new. It's just like, oh, there it is, there it is. And that just keeps, you know, I keep gravitating towards what feels resonant. What's hilarious about astrology is like so confusing to me. Like I have a very dear friend, Kate, who can like drink it up and she just like can look at a natal chart and I look at it and I'm like, ah. But with human design and the gene keys, it was such a strong pull. So it, again, it's like going back to what feels good, what feels fun. Like I let other people like yourself who feel a strong resonance and really feel connected to support me. And what does this mean? Right. And like, kind of going back and forth. And then there's other modalities that I just like dive in and I can't get enough. And I just want to keep pouring myself into that. So yeah, this is what happens when we get back in our bodies, when we connect right to that feminine energy inside and we really trust and intuit, what is it that I like, right? Because I believe that this isn't the first time that I've worked with the human design and gene keys and I Ching, right? Like transmissions. It's just so natural to me and it's so effortless and it's so easy. So yeah, I want to hear Pluto moving.
I mean, I think it's taking off in the zeitgeist because people do want to know really who they are. And this idea that we have an energy signature and that we really can be efficient in, in, you know, I think there was times when we like wanted to be all things to all people and we wanted to be broad. No, I don't want to be limited. But now I think there's this thing that we're like, oh no, I just really want to be myself. And that has structure to it, which means that I'm not all things to all people. You know, I'm not like a blob of energy. I'm actually a very specific energy frequency. And so are you. Mm-hmm. So when you say a 1-3, I mean, for those of you who don't know, and you run your human design or you can run your gene key profiles, they're all for free. There's tons of websites. That's a nice place to start. Like knowing what your type is, you said generator. So knowing your type and what do they say, those out there say about that type, and then feel into the resonance for you. And then the profile lines are what she's referring to as 1-3. I'm a 6-2. And those profile lines have really supported me in even my business, even like giving myself some grace, like, oh, the sixth line doesn't come into, they're like late bloomers. They don't come into their dharma. Even though I have like tons of friends, six lines who are doing things, I already know that by the time they're 50, wow, their work is going to really mature in a different way. Yeah. And so the 1-3, like the breakthrough of the three, the experimenting of the breakthrough and this foundation of just the mastery of content, like wanting to know why and wanting to ask these questions and know more and dig in.
And I'm a Sag rising. So, you know, then wanting to know.
I'm a Sag sun. So, you know, that's why I think, okay, yeah, that's why I love to our evolutionary future. So part of what I do inside of the Evolving Sisters is talk about evolutionary feminine leadership. I'm like that fits me. So, you know, we don't need those things. I would do those things, but it helps me reduce the noise and really make peace with how I do it. I think that's really where we're at right now. And then we're going to start seeing the fruits of our labors as we focus on those things that our template is suited for and that's natural. And then that's like, you know, I hold the vision of what Richard Rudd expressed inside of the Gene Keys, that really when you're doing that, when I'm doing that, when everyone's doing that, the whole thing really works better. And I know that there can be this thought of, well, who's going to take out the trash? You know what? Somebody will want a trash business because they're going to see an opportunity and they're going to get lit up by that level of service. Or maybe trash won't exist because somebody's going to think about a way to, you know, that creates
things that biodegrade, like everything biodegrades and goes back into earth. I mean, we're really sitting on the precipice where, because we went through this Capricornian, like Pluto and Capricorn, just destroying the old structures, which I also think is the old structures in our mind about what we think is possible. Now we're getting liberated to really think outside the box. And you mentioned this term gnosis, where we're getting some self-knowledge, self-understanding. And Uranus, that the great awakener, is like giving us bursts of insights. They're like, holy shit. Yeah, I could do it that way.
And this is where it starts to be so fun. Cause as you were talking about, like, who's going to take out the trash, right? I think about it with online business, or I think about it with what society models in the Western world, that we want to have the big house and, you know, we want to have the millions of dollars. And really, that's actually not what every soul signed up for. And I think about my prosperity sphere and my husband's. And so I am a three, which is all about celebration. And my husband is a two, which is all about relationship. Actually, he's very simple. He actually doesn't require a lot of material things. And he doesn't, it took a while for him to understand, like, I love to be with people and to celebrate and to bring people with me. And I love to experience life. And with that requires money. And with that requires resource. And with that requires my ability to be like, I want to travel and I want to see the world and I want to bring people with me and to experience life. And so having that knowledge of having that structure of what allows my partner to feel prosperous is to really be seen, right? Like really the simplicity of relationship, where for me, it's, yeah, I want to celebrate this life. It's two totally different perspectives. And so what you're saying is, as we kind of all, that's what I'm hearing from you, is as we come home to ourselves more and really connect with like what those questions you asked, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes ago, right? Like, what is important to me? Is this what the collective, is this what marketing and the media and society and my mentor or my parents are telling me is important, of what it means to be successful, of what it means to feel fulfilled, or what is really happening inside? And so I think we keep circling back to like, we're not going to get it from the outside world. It's going to come back from coming back to self, right? Back into our bodies, back into asking those deep, reverent questions.
Yeah, I love that you know that about your husband too, so that you can really meet him in relationship and you're always going to keep it fresh. There's never going to be a dull moment with you.
Oh yeah. And it's makes so much sense to me of like, right. Honoring. Yeah. Just the honoring. And it does, it supports, these tools support us in communication, right? And with our children, with our partners, again, with our clients, like I love getting that understanding as well. And I do, I feel it, like you said, did you say it simplifies? What was your wording? Where it just, it helps to know like, oh, this is my soul blueprint. It gets out all of the noise to really come back to, this is who they are as at their soul essence.
Yeah. And we also get to presence, that there's this idea too, that you are not that. And I want to bring that in because we live in polarity, right? So everything is this and that. So here's the this that we just named, which is these structures and these blueprints. And then there's the that of, you are actually bigger than that. You are not that. So we're really always, and I love yoga, the word union with, like, it, and it's like tantric too, because we're in a body figuring out how this, not balance, but the harmony between these polar opposites gets to move and be in our being. So there's, you know, some people walk around, yeah, like, oh, I can't do that because I'm an Aquarian. Well, you know, that's a story. And we can drop that and we can challenge ourselves. And at the same time, that model can be really helpful if it serves you in your empowerment. And that's really what I want to bring through, because like all these things are here to serve your empowerment. And if it doesn't, then just leave it, because it'll either circle back to you when the time is right and you'll be like, whoa, or, you know, you don't need it.
I love that you're presencing this, because as you're talking about, you know, planetary alignments and the archetypes and the gene keys, right? Like all of these archetypes, right? Like all of these codons within our DNA, like it resides within every single one of us. We just all have our different flavors and medicine and what we sign up for. And, you know, even just as I was talking about the prosperity, you know, lines with my partner and I, like how it's allowing me to soften more into the simplicity of life. And right, it doesn't always have to be about, right, like the celebration and like bringing people with me and experiencing, and how it helps me have more compassion and understanding and a broader perspective of what's meaningful to people. Right. So thank you for presenting that, because I think, right, and Richard Rudd does talk about this with structure, right? Like the structure is there, and then eventually we transcend the structure, and then we do it again. And then we do it again. And then we do it again, because if not, there wouldn't be evolution. Right. So it is that delicate dance. And this is what it's like, wow, we really sign up for something when we decide to come to planet Earth.
Don't we? Yeah. It's no joke. It's such a privilege and a gift, and it's really freaking hard so much of the time. So yeah, it's the both and.
Both and, coming back full circle, right? The darkness, the light, the both and, right? Like loving our ego, you know, like not making the ego go away, you know, just really honoring all of the emotions and yeah, just all of the shadows, everything. It's all sacred, right? It's all perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there any, is there any final words that you would love to leave our listeners with? We do have those in both, you know, male and female bodies that are tuning in. And as you mentioned, this the feminine, just like all the archetypes in the cosmos reside within us. We all carry the masculine and the feminine. And so what would be just some words that you'd like to impart to really support people in that evolutionary feminine leadership that really the planet is moving into at this time?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's been great to have this conversation and to work through all the technology stuff that we got to work through. It shows our resolve and our commitment. And really that's probably the metaphor that I want to leave with, is that resolve and that commitment, because, we're stepping into the unknown. The future is different and can be different. And that can be scary and that can be exciting and it can be all the things. And we are creators. We have this moment to now put into life what is it that we're inspired to bring forth through our embodiment. And that, I think that is the privilege of this moment. I take it as that we're here to bring heaven to earth. Mm-hmm. You know, when I look back at the words of Mary Magdalene and Yeshua, I had that was in part of the Divine Feminine Summits and Mary Magdalene activations. And that's really just blown open my heart, and really reading the texts that were excluded from the master story have, like, now I'm like, all these things are coming forth because we're ready to hear them. We are ready to live them. And the basic teachings are like, you get to, the kingdom of heaven is here. It is now. And that includes the divine feminine. That includes the energy that we have cut out, the frequency we have cut out in order to build this masculine modern world. And I don't want to malign it. There are bad things about it. There are good things about it. But I think we're at this choice point. Yeah. Like, is that the thing that is sustainable for the future? That is a win-win for all, where all needs are met, including life forms, all different life forms. And that's really the heart. And we don't really need to have answers so much as we need to be asking the right questions. And I hope that's what I get to leave everyone with, is the sense of just walk around asking questions in your walking meditation through your neighborhood. Just be in wonder and curiosity And then, you know, open the divine channel and let something new come through.
Well, thank you so much.
I always have noticed that every question I ask is now answered with another question. And I've learned to really lean into that, right? And get excited about that. And that's really, right, the magic and the miracle of what it means to be human. So what beautiful final words. And I just think it's funny. I pulled up my profile here earlier. And as you mentioned, resolve and commitment, my life's work is 40. So my gift is resolve and my purpose is 9. So determination is the gift of my purpose. And so thank you for, right, just in that little, in that brief moment of what you just expressed for me individually was, okay, there's another opportunity where you allowed the resolve, right? Where you didn't try to force something, where we just were resilient and we breathed through it, but also the determination and the devotion and the commitment of us having this conversation and you know, staying a little extra over in time and really, yeah, just honoring this conversation and the impact that it's going to have. So I just wanted to thank you for being a part of that co-creation.
Yeah, I'm honored. How fun that it all worked out like this.
How fun. So where are all the ways that people can get in touch with you and check out the Evolving Sisters Network? I know you're on social media and you have a website. So if you'd like to share what's most alive for you, we'll put everything in the show notes as well.
That would be great. Yeah. I'd love to welcome anyone inside the Evolving Sisters Network. Thank you so much, Lindsay, and congratulations on this baby journey and what it gets to be. February, when the little one comes out.
You're officially my last interview. So this felt fun and important. My last interview before I close out season 2 of the podcast. So, yeah, this felt very special and very timely. So thank you for.
Yeah. And let's all just, whoever's listening right now, just beam Lindsay and baby and hubby, some just big love, surround them in bright light. And let them know that they are loved, they are held. And baby, you are welcome. You are welcome. You are wanted. And you are welcome.
He wanted to be a part of this conversation.
Yes.
He's here for it. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. Much love, everyone. Reach out to Kenlyn and myself. Again, you'll find all the ways to get in touch with her in the show notes. Let us know what's landing. Reach out to us, right? We're humans. We want to know what's alive for you, what felt resonant, maybe what triggered you. We want to hear all of it. So please, please, please reach out and we'll catch you maybe not next week, maybe when I'm back from maternity leave for another episode. We'll catch you soon. Much love, everyone.
Thank you for your presence and tuning in today. I believe in the power of reciprocity. So if you found value from this episode, I invite you to share the love. There are endless ways to do so, including leaving a rating and written review on Apple, forwarding the episode link to a loved one, reaching out to me on social media to say hi at Lindsay Martin Ellis, or sending me a love note via email at lindsay@lindsaymartinellis.com. I so appreciate you and your support. It's truly what keeps me going. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Lindsay Martin Ellis Experience. Much love.